Welcome to A Moment for Moms, your guide to raising mentally and financially fit professional athletes with Wendy Sparks and Daniel LaForce. This is the podcast where we celebrate the unsung heroes of sports, the moms. We will speak to the moms of basketball players that you all love and dive deep into what it really takes to raise pro basketball players while equipping moms with the tools, insights, and support they need for the journey.
Welcome to another fantastic episode of Courtside Moms Media with Wendy and Dania. Today, we have the awesome pleasure of welcoming Sandra Brunson, mother of Jalen Brunson of the New York Knicks.
And we are super excited about this guest because we are in Midtown Manhattan, her stomping ground with the New York Knicks, born in New York City. So a very special day for a very special guest. And we're very excited about this opportunity.
Welcome, Sandra.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's so good to finally be here with you guys.
Right? It's been a minute that we've been trying to get this going, but you know what? We're so blessed. Before we continue, though, we need to say a special thanks to UBS International for allowing us to be here with them today and putting on this show. So thank you. Yeah. Sandra, before we start and talk about where Jalen is today, let's go back a bit and tell us how it all began.
Do you have time? About how far back would you like me to go? I mean,
it's up to you. You can go back to the womb. You can go to.
We're here for it,
right?
So, the kid has pretty much had a basketball in his hand forever, and despite trying to get him to try different sports, he always came back to basketball. So we'll start there. It's been a fun ride, a great journey. His love for basketball, of course, came from, I guess, watching his dad play and being able to be with him as a professional and just be able to be on the court. He had an appreciation early on of working in the basketball arena, not necessarily watching a game, but he wanted to sit and work and be a ball boy. He wanted to wipe the floors, get the players and drinks and things like that. So he had a different vantage point from the average child.
Now, I know we're going to give a lot of credit to the dad being a professional athlete, but you guys may not know, but Sandra played a little sports herself, a very, very good volleyball player. So talk to us about your playing history and how you think that also helped your son and your daughter be great athletes.
For me, volleyball played the bills. Let's put it like that. Got me through college, so that was a blessing. For me, back in high school sports, which I think today is a little different, it was a passion. Mm-hmm. I loved to play sports. I was a competitor. I tried everything. I played every sport, and I even played basketball, believe it or not.
No way.
I did.
You know what? I think I have some footage of that.
Those are some hand tapes.
I have some footage of that.
Not the one that you have most recently.
We'll insert the footage later.
Yeah. It's becoming a trend. So the basketball skills, I would say he did not get from me, but the competitiveness, the desire, and the discipline as an athlete, I think sports has taught me a lot. And I was able to translate that and give that to my children just by, one, learning to play with others, learning that you can't pick your teammates, you can't pick your coach. You are going to have to learn to adjust, and that team element and being a part of a team is something special. Yeah. So as a mother, just having the ability to teach them the value of being an athlete. Yeah.
Speaking of lessons of the game, let's talk a bit about your husband, because he's a coach right now from the Knicks. However, before, he was a player.
Yes.
So when we're tying all that together, your life didn't just start with basketball now. You kind of have history with that. So talk to us about all that and how it all gels together now that you're a basketball mom.
I could tell you this is my second go around and it's much better. I'm like fine wine right now.
Yeah.
As a mom. Being a wife of a basketball player, professional athlete, in my eyes, when I was younger, Rick and I met in college, and having the ability to live a life of an athlete myself in college, you know, we have goals, we have aspirations. So there wasn't this element of being in awe or just like starstruck or anything like that. Because I was like, I have my own thing, you know. It was tough because having them on the road all the time and raising a family, and he was a journeyman. So just traveling or going to different teams, you know, the kids and I, we traveled during the holidays. We traveled on in the summertime. We would utilize just the family time and not go anywhere because he was always on the road during the regular season. So my kids, initially, Jalen being the oldest, had to learn to understand that what daddy did was our job. It wasn't our life. And I had to instill that in him from about, I would say about second grade. It's just like, that's daddy's job. Yeah. That's not who we are. Yeah. And I think, believe it or not, when he said he wanted to be a basketball player, I was just like, oh my goodness, really? Don't you understand how hard it is? But he actually, it was something that he understood. So we could appreciate that. And he knew what he was getting into, and just the amount of pressure it is to raise a family like that. So I hope we've instilled in him some of the do's and don'ts from our experience.
So as mom, let's just talk about you for a second, mm-hmm. because you had a career, or you have a career. Mm-hmm. So how do you juggle all of that? Because here you have the wife of an NBA player at the time, and then you have your own career as a paralegal, mm-hmm. and then you have two kids, one who wants to, you know what I mean, be a professional athlete like his dad, and your daughter, I'm not sure what your daughter
could do. She just graduated from college. Awesome. She played in high school, but didn't aspire to play in college. Which is fine.
Right? Her road is her road,
exactly.
Right? But how did you, as that paralegal, you know what I mean? Like, because you know, we have careers as moms, yes. too, right? And yes. and it's kind of sometimes we got to put it in the back burner.
Correct.
So let's just talk a bit about that. How did you fit that? How did you manage to fit all that in?
I think when I look back, when Rick came out of college, he was undrafted. And remember, it was his goal, you know, to play in the league or play professional basketball. So he went to Australia first. And I was pregnant with Jalen at the time, and I was like, I don't want to have my first child or in another country. Right. I was like, I'm good right here. Oh, so, I couldn't do it. And to be honest with you, the way I'm built and from our cultural background, I could be very selfish. Mm-hmm. Selfish in that I know myself.
Yeah.
If I have a path, like I did want to go to law school, and I knew if I went to law school, past the bar in New York, I'm not going anywhere else.
Yeah.
So I might not be married today.
Right.
But not only that, I had the ability of just like reinventing myself, like say, how am I going to be able to have a family, do what I want to do, establish myself in a way that I am proud of myself in addition, and then support my husband. Yeah. And so, I mean, right here in New York, right out beside these doors, I worked for several years for a great law firm. I got to travel and, of course, got to support my parents. So, right. Which helped a lot when you're traveling. There are sacrifices that we make and decisions that we make every day with respect to how we're going to manage our family and our spouses. And I just think if it's something that, you know, the old saying is like, you can't pick who you love. Mm-hmm. I guess you can in this lifetime, but I don't know why somebody would say, I want to be with a professional athlete, to be honest with you, because it's very hard.
Yeah.
Not everybody can do it. And there's a lot of pros and there's some cons. And so we put our family first. Something that Rick and I decided to do is that no matter where he went, the children came first. Yeah. And so we wanted to be where it was best for them to have the most normal, quote-unquote, normal lifestyle as possible. And when he got into high school, it's like, that's it. We're not moving.
Yeah.
Wherever we land is where it has to be one of the best school systems. We're going to stay there and see it through. Because athletes don't have the privilege of choosing where they're going to be throughout their whole entire career. Mm-hmm. They get traded, right. They get cut, everything. And I lived in the same home.
Yeah.
My entire life. Yeah. until I went to college. And I just didn't know anything different. So it was very hard for me to just adapt to that. But I understood that the children had to come first.
Now, let me ask you a question, because you said something earlier, and you're one of the few moms in the league that also has a husband that's coaching in the league. Mm-hmm. And not all, in addition to that, they're both on the same team and in the same organization.
Yeah.
So your husband's coaching your son. Okay. Yes. And sometimes coaches are hard on players. As a mom, when your husband is hard on Jalen and you want to just, how do you manage being mom in those situations and also knowing that your husband is also trying to coach him up and do what's best? But how's that tough love or that, how does that play into how you react to that situation?
It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Give me a story.
There's some, what happened?
What Tell age girl. Level do you want to go? We can start at AAU. Yeah. We can start. It's not easy. Well, to answer your question first, now that they're both in the same organization, it is actually great.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Great for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know the day-to-days for them, but for me, because I'm watching the game by myself. Mm-hmm. Usually, to Good watch point. A game with my husband.
Good point.
And you're a coach, so you probably have a different vantage point. He's locked in, and he only sees the game from the eyes of a coach. I can feel the fumes, everything. While in college, when we would sit together,
yeah.
I used to sit two or three seats away. And, you know, I don't want to give too much information, but I would have a cocktail at a game. Yeah. I don't want to be on camera with a cocktail, but I just kind of take it down a notch. And,
right.
But he's really into the game. Coaches and players know every... You remember when you had the ball, when you came out of bounds, you did mm-hmm. this. And I'm like, what is all this? And for me, I want to enjoy the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our son said something to me early on in the beginning of his college career. Our family moved back to the East Coast from the Midwest. And I was the last one to join the family because I had to pack up the house
right.
and do all these things. I was the last one to join the family. And when I got there, I remember I was at a scrimmage when he was at Villanova. And when he got off the court, I said, "Ah, son, you know, you did X, Y, Z." And he said, "Not you too." And when he said that,
yeah.
that was the only one time I said, never again
yeah.
will I talk to him about the game.
Yeah.
I'm here as a mom. He has enough of that. He has uh-huh. a high school coach that calls him. He has a father that's watching him who's a coach, and he has a college coach. He does not need me.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say in 2015 is when I realized he yeah. doesn't need yeah. another person to evaluate him on the court. He needs a mom.
And it's a good thing you say that, because I always tell moms, you could still coach them up
yes.
and not talk X's and O's.
Exactly.
There's so many ways as moms we could be influential in our sons' lives mentally.
Yes.
Just helping them, you know, with everyday life that they yes. probably won't get from their dad, you know.
Yes.
So you still can coach them up
yes.
and not speak X's and O's. So I think that's
it's funny that you say that, because I never thought about it that
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
But ever since high school, I would always text him before the game, like about within a 2 to 3 hour window. Sometimes I'm driving to the game and I forget, and he will say, "I'm waiting,"
right.
like, you know, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh," I'm like, "Sheesh, do I pull over?" And to this day, I do the same thing. Mm. So that's how, I guess, how I coach him up. But I give him words of wisdom. I try to bring the mother's sentiment to it, to just kind of bring him down at the same time, build him up.
For sure.
And it's a juggling act. And for him to still appreciate that, it's a blessing, because he looks forward to it. And I've gotten an evil eye or two where he's seen me in the arena and he's like, "You didn't text me." And I'm like, "Oh my God," you know. But there's so many things that I'm doing before the game and family members in. But so yes, I now that you mentioned it that way, I'm going to think of it. That's my own version of coaching him up.
That's right.
But doing that. Yeah.
We're still nurturers, right?
Yeah.
And no matter how old our kids are, they still expect that from us. Although sometimes they don't want to admit it.
Yes.
In their late 20s and stuff. Yes. I'm grown, Mom. I'm like, whatever, I'll text you later, love you. Whatever, you know?
Right.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking a lot about the game. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about Jalen and how he's, you know, maneuvering and stuff. But let's talk about that night that made it all happen, that night that got him there. We want to know about giraffe night.
Oof. Oh, okay.
Feel the pit.
You know, right?
It's
right?
Like a mom. Like, oh, you feel
yeah.
the pit.
Yeah, draft night. So it wasn't for me, in my head, it wasn't a gathering for the draft. We had so many things to celebrate going into the draft. When he graduated, he was in 3 years. So he had, I think, a half a semester left of school. So we knew he was going to be finished in August. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing that we were celebrating. And in addition to, we were celebrating, they won a national championship.
That's right.
In 2018. Yes.
Congratulations.
So that's a wild ride and so appreciative. And so, yes. And the draft, right? So the family's gathering for that. But in my mind, it's just like, listen, we have so many things to celebrate, and whatever happens, happens.
Right.
And I remember family, friends, everybody's around. His college teammates are there. Some were at the draft, waiting for their name to be called.
So you weren't at the draft?
Oh, no. We were at a restaurant.
Okay.
We were at a restaurant in South Jersey. And we just invited friends and family to come and join us and be with us. And, you know, TVs are on. Okay, you know, and I'm just, you know,
TVs at the restaurant.
Their TVs at the sports bar, like they're right.
Good.
Yeah. The TVs are on. Uh-huh. My husband is in the back somewhere, sweating and probably just miserable because he wears this on his shoulders, right? And he's just, because you just want the best for your child. Sure. And I know him having all the accolades that he had that year and so forth. In maybe in his mind or others' mind, maybe he should have gone a certain number.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. For me, I just wanted him to get drafted, right?
Yep.
He was drafted in the second round. And I could just see the sigh of relief when his name was called. I actually have a picture where I'm just like hugging, almost a chokehold. I'm holding him. I'm hugging him.
Okay, because, Draymond.
Yeah. And just because it was just like, wow, it's over. And the rat race started after that. But the one thing that his dad told him after that, it's just like, now the draft is over.
Yeah.
The numbers don't matter. Everybody's at zero.
That's right. Yeah.
So from that point on, he just realized that that was just kind of like a celebratory thing. And yes, a ranking system, but now the real work begins. And so you have an ability. I'm going to give you the cheat codes. I'm going to tell you what it takes to maintain, or what you have to do and what to expect. So I think that's the benefits, too. I know we were talking about that day, but having a coach as a parent, because he would say, if he would always tell him, if I can't break you, nobody will break you. He says, I'm going to make it so your life is easier than my road.
Right.
So that was a blessing for Rick and him to have that balance. And for me that day, I was just so happy to just see the smile on his face and having him just accomplish another one of his goals.
And you could even see when he plays, he's so even keel.
Yeah.
He never goes high. He never goes too low. He stays at the same level no matter what. And that goes back to what you were saying, you know, because Rick was there to be like, you know, you're never going to experience anything harder than this.
Yes.
You know, what you've already been through.
Yes.
So everything else is gravy.
Yes.
And I think he plays that way. And I think that's why he's so such a valuable asset to the Knicks, because he just came in like, all right, this is another opportunity for me just to be me and take it in stride. But that says a lot about your you know, his parenting, too.
Yeah, I think it also comes from our humble Caribbean background.
It was the curry chicken, the oxtail.
No, the porridge.
The rice
is the porridge.
The porridge. The actual swordfish. It definitely is. We come from humble beginnings.
And
roll up your sleeves and get to work.
Yes.
Culture.
And I,
100%. And you guys are right. I'm sitting there listening. I'm like, you know what? It's so true.
Yeah.
And I love what Rick is saying, or what I think he's saying. You know, at the end of the day, it's not easy to get there, but it's harder to even stay there.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what
right?
he says.
Right? So it's like, stay humble.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And just do what you got to do.
Exactly.
However, we look at your baby and he went from second rounds to $104 million four-year contract. Right?
Come borrow some money. Right? Dinner's on Sandra tonight.
Dinner's on me. And let us, we're in New York. I'll get you in L.A., okay? And sheesh, the Canadian dollar is a little different too. So
it is. So yeah. We'll all go to Montreal for a bit.
No. Again, thinking about when he was drafted and when he was there, coming into this, you know, you go from college, you're living in a dorm, and then all of a sudden you're playing in a city that you've never lived in, and you're expected to manage your life and play basketball. So fortunately, Rick and I understood what we at least thought he needed.
Yeah.
Was just focus on basketball.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, back of my mind, I always said the joke between Jalen and I is like, remember, you're not supposed to be here. You know, some people didn't think you needed, we're going to be here.
Wow.
And we just, that was the fuel. Like, you know, second round.
Yeah.
That was the fuel. And that, I know we'll get to it probably, but that was the reason why we came up with Second Round Foundation. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like to help the underserved and the underdog, the people who are overlooked, the young people.
Yeah.
And so he's always felt that he's, you know, people would say, oh, he's good, but.
Right. Right.
And, you know, it, or the goalposts, and obviously it's that's football, but yeah. It'll be moved.
Exactly.
Every time you accomplish something, but, or he's great here, but he's a liability on defense, whatever it may be. It's just like, okay, just use that and just use it as fuel, change the narrative. And he is very even keeled. I'd like to say that is from me.
Mm-hmm.
I like to say that it's from me. But he's definitely a student of the game, and he's listened to his. One thing he's always said to me is like, Mom, you know, Dad is old. When it comes to this basketball thing, he's always right. So it's hard, even though I know he's telling me what I need to do and I want to go a certain way. In the back of my mind, I'm like, Dad is right. So he, fortunately for us, he's made it very easy. He's truly blessed to have received a contract like that. When he was being courted, or like we knew he was going to be a free agent, and it was tough.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my husband in the back of listens, and you don't, those numbers don't come around very often. Don't right. be greedy. Like, you know, take whatever they give you right. type of thing, right. you know. And when he started to play at a level that others saw him in a different light.
Yeah.
I remember sitting with him. So this is the fortunate thing. When Dad is a coach, now I have more one-on-one time with him. Mm. I have more one-on-one time with him in this space with the agents and so forth. And I'm sitting at the table. I'm listening to all these things. And I remember telling him, you've done everything everybody's always told you to do. Awesome. Everything. This time around, I think you can bet on yourself. Mm-hmm. So go for it. Right. Go for whatever it is. Don't worry about, you know, friendships or this. At the end of the day, this is what you deserve.
Yeah.
You know, no one else is going to dictate this. This is for you. So I'm super happy for him. I'm happy that he is on the trajectory to accomplish his goals.
Yeah.
And my joke to his dad is like, our son is taking us places that you never had. God, I mean, so I'm like, you know, yeah. So, but yeah. So,
that's funny.
Yeah, it's truly a blessing.
Oh, that's awesome.
So our sons are expected to be 100% every single time they touch the court. Right. Yeah. They're not allowed to have off days, apparently, no. Although that is actually OK.
Exactly.
So whenever that does happen, what do you offer Jalen? Like, what kind of pick me up or what kind of comfort do you offer him? Just say if a fan ridicules him or the media, because, you know, they're always out there for our kids. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Scrutinized, yes. Right? Yes.
Ooh. So do you ever have conversations with him about that? And if so, like, what kind of comfort do you give him?
That's a good question. And I got to tell you, I think he thinks of protecting me more than himself. You know, fans of the game, you know, people who bet, now I realize more of it has to do with betting.
The parlay.
Yeah, we,
like, stop.
I realize some of the
stay with the team.
Some of the negativity comes from other interests, yeah. Not necessarily people who are fans of the game or fan of his. It has something to do with supplemental income, probably, mm-hmm. or whatever, mm-hmm. right? But I think he thinks about me, so he doesn't bring a lot to my attention. However, I get to see it. I do see stuff out there. It's hard not to. We just try to turn the page. You know, I read a lot. I listen to a lot of people, people who are motivational speakers and things like that. And I take little nuggets from different things that kind of help me and help me help my children. And I think for Jalen, in his case, it comes with the territory. It's not fair.
Right.
It comes with the territory. I've heard people say pressure is a privilege. Yeah, and that's true. And I've heard people say that, you know, if they're not talking about you, then you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Right. So it depends on which way you want to look at it. But how I help him the most is just let him know and understand that, you know, he's only human. You can only do your best every day. And do you believe what you actually say? You know, our kids get interviewed all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm listening because I'm like, did you say that right?
You know,
whatever. But he's just like, you know, I want to get better every day. And getting better every day doesn't mean that you're successful every day.
Right.
You know, you and I, in our average days, we go to work, you have a good day, you know, but no one knows because we're not on TV.
Right.
You know, no one knew that I missed something in a particular document or review or something like that.
Yeah.
But when you're on TV, people get to critique you on everything and you're entitled to a bad day and it's okay. But so long as you're able to, you know, do better the next day in some aspect.
Yeah.
And I think he understands that and he doesn't necessarily hold, I think the pros got 82 games, so you don't have much time, right? As opposed to college, you know, so I think he knows how to turn it around.
Yeah.
And I think the hardest thing for me, if you were to ask me, is when I see my husband critiquing him, because I'm like, oh, don't you dare. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, you had bad days.
Right.
You missed free throws, you know, like,
so,
and I think for a coach, you don't remember those things.
Yeah.
But that's what I try to do. Just help him understand that tomorrow's another day.
And you said something earlier that you said he takes negativity and it fuels him.
Yes.
So as a mom, that might be okay when he does face adversity or when he does get a negative experience, because you know he's capable of turning it around and it fuels him to be better. And, you know, for example, the other night at the game, he heard a fan say to him, this is embarrassing. They were down 20-something points.
Yes.
And the fan in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
And the fan said, this is embarrassing. And now, you know, it's a New York fan, so it wasn't that kind, I'm sure. I don't probably.
Probably some expletives in there,
You know what I mean? But he used that in that moment to put his team, the team on his back, and bring them the victory in the fourth quarter, being down 20.
Yeah.
So I think as a mom, if I knew, and I think Terrence and him are similar to that, but if I knew my son could handle it, I probably would be a little less, you know, crazy about the tweets and the I'm still crazy about the tweets, you know. I still block
You block
cuss them out first and then block
them. And then block back.
Well, you gotta cuss them out first. You gotta cuss them out first and then you block.
Well,
that's a trick.
I type and then I delete. I don't send it.
You get it out.
I can then delete.
You better
I don't send it.
He's
capable of it. And younger, you know, there's ways that, you know, when they're younger too, you want to protect them, you want to do things. And he would, sometimes I'm like, who is this kid? Because he will say, Mom, you know, they're going to jeer me whether I do X or that. He's like, so it makes no difference. And I'm just like, wow, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's amazing how the things that you kind of, you teach your children and you kind of instill with them. And then when they flip it and show it back to you, you're like,
I did good.
Yeah.
You know,
it was yesterday.
That's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent.
So we're going to change the subject a little bit now.
Okay.
So earlier this month, we met with financial advisors from UBS. And one of the things we spoke about was how crucial it is for athletes to establish good financial habits earlier in their career.
Yeah.
So as a mom, how have you helped Jalen manage his finances?
So one thing I could say, I probably have a different vantage point than others, is having the income from a professional athlete as, you know, a young couple, not to the magnitude of what we see today, but, and so some of the do's or don'ts, one is you never have too much money that you can't manage your money.
Amen.
Okay. Now you can have people help you, you know, but you should always be aware of your money. And what we've tried to teach him is that you surround yourself with trusted, resourceful individuals, not someone who's trying to, you know, sell you I don't know, just trying to get the next best thing, or trying to give you some, oh, I got this great idea and introduce you. That's not what you want. Yeah. And when, for me, I would tell them that's a red flag. Now, you can always entertain, listen to people. And I welcome listening to people. I always listen to you at least once,
yeah. You
know, and I'll listen to what you have to say, and I'll use that information and go to a trusted source, or someone that we value, who obviously has a better financial mind than we do, and then throw it at them, let them see and understand. Because sometimes some people don't like you to say no, mm-hmm. but that's where we come in. That's where as a mom, right. I come in, or your financial advisor. And also what I try to teach him is that you can never get too comfortable with one person. Because one, if you're the smartest person in your circle, you need a new circle.
Yeah.
Right? So something's wrong with that picture. But if someone is really looking out for your best interests financially, they would welcome the questions, you know, and if they don't have the answer, which I don't think everybody does, I think that they would do their due diligence and find the answer for you. And so it's to be able to understand that you don't have all the information, but to surround yourself with very key people, trusted individuals that will help teach you.
Right.
You know, because you need to be taught. No one knows what it's like, at least no one in my family tree,
right.
to have, you know, so many zeros exactly. coming. And it's like, okay, so what now?
Right.
What do I do now?
And you can't put it under the mattress anymore.
No, that doesn't work.
like you did back in the day.
So. And you know, and that's the thing, like.
And we can't keep it all.
You can't keep it all.
That's guys coming for.
Yeah, so you have to learn. So it's my job, I think, as a mother, to ensure that I vet everybody.
Yes.
And some of the people that are in our life, Jalen has known since he was little.
Oh,
and,
great.
You know, we have the same individuals. And, you know, when I learn something new, I'm going to go back to that. This is what I learned. Okay, can you beat that? Is this real? What does this mean? And I feel as though those same individuals, if they're still around, they are trying to grow with you and allow you to grow in any aspect of life financially. They shouldn't hold you back. They shouldn't try to dictate what you're doing. They're there to help you and help you grow. So I know that sounds like a long-winded question, but But at the end of the day, I think when you make that much money, mm-hmm. people in your circle do things for you and you really don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I think that's problematic.
Yep.
You know, people with a lot of wealth don't necessarily know that, okay, I want to go buy a house. Okay, they usually, how much can I afford? Or, you know, what's my credit score? Or some things like that.
You're right.
And they just go from, oh, we'll make it work. What do you need? We'll make it work. Right. We'll make it work. That's not teaching.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's enabling.
My husband has never, he went to one closing in our 9 homes.
Yeah.
Jalen, we're going to sit together.
Yeah.
And so whether or not it sticks, at least you understand that I'm trying to teach you and show you. So he gets it.
But I think it's important what you said. We need to educate our kids about their financial decisions.
Yes.
It's okay to have a financial advisor and a family office that helps you make the decisions. But if you aren't educated on why you're choosing this option instead of that option, or going this route versus that route, that's when you get exploited.
Yes.
Yep.
You know, and we're trying to prevent that. So if you find someone that not only could be an expert in their field, but also teach you why it's important that they're making this decision on your behalf, as opposed to this decision, not just
correct.
This is what I'm doing, but I'm not going to do this because that would be the tax implications, or that would
exactly.
be, you know, this is how you save money down the line if you did it this way. Look at former clients, like, you know, educate our kids. Don't just come into their lives and take over and take control because you are an expert.
Correct.
You know, educate us, educate our sons. And I think, like you said, when you have that person that's invested in your child beyond just a job.
Yes.
It feels better to have them around.
100%. I think that when the key, they're so busy, right? Our sons are so busy, and also to their spouses, whoever they bring into their life, you know, they're starting at a place where things are great.
Yeah.
you know, you want to look past your career. How long is your career?
Right.
You know, and I mean, not to judge anyone's path or, I mean, when my husband played, he was a journeyman, and a journeyman, you don't have a contract, a guaranteed contract. You're going year to year. So, okay, we saved this for 6-7 months to a year. And, you know, we're still living a life probably better than most people, right, but right. we are conscious and thinking about the next phase, yeah. the next phase. And those are things that I think when you are drafted and you have earnings that are well beyond your imagination and your family's imagination, you don't, you think about the here and now. Right. You don't think about, okay, when I'm going to retire, or if I don't get another contract, what am I going to do?
Right, right.
You know, that's why, well, you know, education is great, right? You get that degree, that'll help you. But, you know, you need to be able, and we're learning too.
Yeah.
I got to
yeah.
tell you, I am learning in this space right. as well. Right. And then I feel like as moms, it's parents in general, it's our job to learn. So I will, for sure. I will learn. I will sit through the webinars, the demos, and yes. this and that, whatever, yes. just so I can better educate myself to educate my son.
That's awesome.
What is something you want people to know about Jalen Brunson?
He has a phenomenal mom, by the way. You can, I'll say it for you. He has a phenomenal mother. Because she's not going to say it, so I have to say it for her.
Thank you. Thank
In addition
you.
To that.
Jalen is one of the most dedicated, hardworking individuals that I have ever known. Mm-hmm. And not because he's my child. He motivates me to go beyond my day-to-day. I think about all the things that he does. I literally sometimes, on my Peloton, I have a huge poster, a life-size poster that I kind of snatched from Villanova. And it's in front of me. And sometimes I'll just be on it and I'm looking at him wow. and I'm thinking like, you did a little, like you do all these yep. things despite, and you just keep going and going. And just don't count him out. That's why I feel as though if you have by now, you know, I mean, some, you're not paying attention.
Not going to name names. I know you proved it the other day.
Yeah, yeah. So
you proved it the other day, yeah. right? To that fan.
Yeah, and actually, I thank you to that fan, whoever you
yeah,
are,
right?
Because
thank you.
You know, he needed that extra motivation to help lift up his team. And right. something that I was telling when people try to make it about you, make it about your team. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's not about you, or you can use yourself to motivate your teammates. So, but yeah, that's what I would say, but what I want people to know about him. Don't count him out. Don't, he won't quit.
Well, we could keep you here all day.
Right?
I know. Your mom will just speak with, but we know you have a game right down the street.
Yes.
They play tonight and they're playing.
They're playing Detroit. They're playing the Pistons.
That's an opportunity to shine.
Yes, it's in season tournament game.
Yes. Yes.
Which is going to be fun.
Excellent.
Some motivation there.
Yep. For sure.
So as we wrap up, mm-hmm. we just want to know, what advice would you give to another family whose child is aspiring to be in the NBA?
Ooh. When you say child, can we just kind of get some clarity? Are we talking about like, you know, adolescence or someone's in college?
We'll go college.
Oh, college. Okay.
Yeah. That's a good
One, parents, don't be a fan. Don't be a fan of your child. All right.
Two, bring a cocktail. You said it, so I'm just helping.
To bring a cocktail to the game. Have your dancing shoes on. And to be there for your child as a parent. Mm-hmm. You know, I would just say this, you know, when I hear other parents, because there's a slew of us all together, we can complain and we can talk about the same thing because we know what goes on when it comes to like college, the college life and sports, you know. And at the end of the day, I think some parents would think, oh, you know, we're going to school for the education. We're going to... And if you're an athlete, yeah. there are other things that you're thinking about. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself and be honest with your child. Mm-hmm. If you know your child is not the bookworm he's supposed to be, then maybe that school's not for you.
Yeah.
If you know your child is just wants to play ball, maybe find another path for him to get to that. Mm-hmm. I feel as though people that we try to make our children into something that they're not, mm-hmm. and not everybody fits the same mold. So that would be my advice to parents. Know who your child is and embrace who they are. I mean, there is a pathway to the NBA, whether you're going with Ignite, right. You know, there's so many ways.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to dispute college.
Right.
Education is key, but let's not pretend that your child has only one path.
Right. Great. Great advice. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Bring me back for part two.
I'm sure.
After dinner.
That's what you're right. When you take us.
Yes. Right. Yes. I have a couple of places. Yes.
Sandra, this has been a lot of fun.
Yes.
Really appreciate you coming and hanging out with us. And
it's my pleasure.
You know what I mean? It's like, this is what we do. We have our camaraderie with our moms. We support each other. We show love. And you know what I mean? It's important for us to get to know each other even more and more every time we have conversations.
Yeah.
Thanks. And to get to know our families and our children, right?
Yeah. So. And I thank you for this opportunity. And because it is so true, there's a sisterhood of mothers out there. And what we learned over the summer and visiting, because, yeah, the media have it. I don't like your son. He's killing my kid.
They don't know that this is what we
And then when I finally get to, I'm like, oh, my gosh. His mom is so such. I'm like, oh, I like him now. Uh-huh. So, I mean, it is what it is. But, yeah, it's a sisterhood, and I appreciate the time. And I look forward to seeing you guys again.
And we have a responsibility. You know, a responsibility to other moms that will be going through what we're going through, and just to each other to share and educate and just grow together and know that you're never alone in this phase. You're never alone. There are a sisterhood out there.
You need a hotline. So mom could call in.
I know.
After hours, because after a particular game and you want to vent and, you know, our sons are not doing well or whatever.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
Yeah. A 911 hotline for courtside moms.
912.
Oh.
911 apparently is taken, so 912 will be us.
Okay.
We'll start that very soon.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Here.
Yes, thank you.
And good luck tonight.
Thank you.
So join us next time for another episode of A Moment for Moms. And please don't forget to like and share our episodes and share with anyone you know who's raising professional athletes or any fans who would love to get more insight on how powerful these moms are raising such great athletes and such great people.